The Ark in the Land of the Philistines, Chapter 60. Great gladness prevails in the land of the Philistines when the news of the tremendous victory becomes known. Not only that the Israelites are defeated, but the God of the Israelites is captured, the mighty God, the strong God, of whom they had heard so much already. This God is brought to their country. Is it any wonder that they burn with inquisitiveness? What will this God look like? Finally, the Philistines who are carrying the ark reach their country. They march proudly over the roads, loudly applauded by the inhabitants of the towns through which they walk. They bring the ark to Ashdod, one of the most prominent cities of the Philistines. The streets are full of people, straining their necks to obtain a view. They see a chest, an ordinary chest. Ah, yes, it is overlaid with gold, and two figures with wings are upon the cover. So, this is the God of Israel. Alas, the Philistines know no better. They are heathens, but we know better, don't we? They bring the ark to the temple of Dagon, their god. The ark is set before their god. Oh, why isn't the ark brought to the palace of their king? Because the Philistines do not give the honor of their victory to their king. No, but Dagon, their god, receives the honor. It is as though they say, Dagon, you are stronger than the God of Israel. You have overcome the God of Israel. This is the second time that Dagon is honored. The first time was when they had taken Samson a prisoner. This time it is, as they think, because they have taken God a prisoner. This is such a humiliating example for the Israelites. How often didn't the Lord help Israel, and wonderfully too? And the Israelites repeatedly forgot the Lord. The Philistines didn't do that. What do we do? There stands the God of Israel now, as one that is conquered. At least, that is what the Philistines think. The priests of Dagon lock the doors of the temple and retire for the night. But what happened during the night? The temple is opened the following morning when it is still early. It will be a busy day, a day of feasting. The priests expect many visitors who will come out of curiosity to look at the ark. Behold, the priests enter the temple. But suddenly they stand still from fright, as if nailed to the ground. What has happened? Dagon, their god, lies there fallen forward upon the ground before the ark of the Lord. It is as if Dagon is worshipping Israel's God, as if Dagon would pay homage to Israel's God. The priests look at each other with apprehensive faces and draw up their shoulders. They do not understand how this is possible, for Dagon is a heavy stone image. The upper portion looks like the body of a person, but the lower portion has the shape of the tail of a fish, so part man and part fish. And that image fell over, but not of its own accord. Who did it then? No one was in the temple. The priests say to each other, "We will stand Dagon up again as it was, and we will tell no one what has happened." The people need not know it. It is a good thing that it is so early and that no other people are here. Very carefully and with combined effort, they lift Dagon and set it upon its usual place. when they open the doors very early the next morning and go into the temple, they frighten much more than the day before, because Dagon has again fallen forward. But this time it is much worse. The image is in pieces. The head is cut off, and both hands are off too. Does the Bible say they were broken off? No. Let us read what it does say. We read in the Bible, the head and both hands were cut off, which means they were knocked off, just as though someone purposely knocked or cut off the stone hands and head. Still, no one had been in the temple that night, for all the doors were carefully locked. These stone hands lie upon the threshold of the door, and since that day, the heathen priests always step over the threshold and never upon it. Now the priests can no longer hide it. No, for they cannot repair Dagon so quickly. But other things happen. The inhabitants of Ashdod and the surrounding dwellers of this city become sick. They get ugly, painful, ulcerated sores, so that they can walk only with difficulty. In addition to this, mice overrun the fields outside the city and destroy the wheat and barley. The inhabitants of Ashdod begin to consider, and they say, "The God of Israel is doing this. That God is punishing us." They not only begin to respect, that they also begin to be afraid of this mighty God. Is Israel's God stronger than Dagon? They discuss this with each other. Let us listen to what they say. The ark of the God of Israel must not remain with us, for he is punishing us, and he is also punishing our God Dagon. When the ark came, they were glad. They thought it a great honor that it was brought to their city and not to another. But now they no longer want to keep it. It must go away, and the sooner the better. They call together the five lords, the five kings of the Philistines, and say, "What shall we do with the ark? For we no longer want to keep it." And the answer is, "Let us take the ark to Gath." That is another royal city of the Philistines. Immediately they take the ark to Gath. Probably they also take the ark into the temple of Dagon. But as soon as it is in the city, the same sickness also breaks out. All the people of Gath become sick, even the children, and the grain in the fields is completely devoured by the mice. Neither do the inhabitants of Gath dare keep the ark any longer. Therefore they take the ark out of this city and bring it to the city of Ekron. The inhabitants of Ekron are not a bit happy about it. They are afraid. That is not surprising, for as soon as the ark arrives in Ekron, the same plagues that afflicted Ashdod and Gath break out there. A deadly affliction prevails in the city. The people cry aloud from the pain and misery. It is worse in this city, for young and old die. Men, it cannot go this way any longer. What must we do? Who says that? Look once. The Philistines have come together. This time the priests also are present with the five kings. Their faces are serious and sorrowful. They were so glad about their brilliant victory, but the gladness has departed long ago. The victory has changed into a calamity. This victory was won 7 months ago. The ark has been in their country during that time. In spite of the calamities, they still held out all this time. But now, they can continue no longer. The Philistines asked the priests and the diviners whom they had called, "What must we do?" In silence, they wait for the answer. The priests and diviners stare meditatively before them. Then their answer rings out. The best thing that can be done is to send the ark back to Israel. Do not let us be as foolish as the Egyptians were at one time. They would not listen either, and we all know the consequences. It was terrible for them. Their entire land was ruined, and finally they had to let the Israelites go. Let us act more wisely and send the ark back before our entire land is completely laid waste. But we must not send it back just like that. No, we must send a gift with it, an offering. There are 5 large cities in our country, aren't there? Let us make 5 golden emeralds and 5 golden mice and put them in a little chest with the ark. Let us give honor to the God of Israel. Perhaps he will accept our offering and cure us. This is sensible advice. These heathen Philistines are more sensible than we, because we rarely listen to the Lord when he speaks to us with various judgments. A painful silence reigns for a while. It isn't so easy for them to send the ark away like that. It would be very nice if they could keep it. Couldn't it be possible that this outbreak of sickness happened just by chance? Probably it isn't even a punishment of the Lord of Israel. And if they should send the ark back, then they will be without it. It is a difficult problem. How will they be sure to know exactly what to do? So they think and converse about it. "Listen," the priests say, "we will test it this way. We will make a new cart. We must not take an old, worn-out cart. No, but a brand new one. Then take 2 cows, which just had a calf, and which never drew a cart before, thus cows that are not accustomed to it. Then harness the cows before the cart, bring their calves into the barn, and see what will happen. If the cows walk to the barn and to their calves, then this is not a punishment of the God of Israel. Then it is only a coincidence that our people have become sick and that the mice have destroyed the grain in the fields. However, if the cows walk straight toward the land of the Israelites, then it is a punishment of Israel's God, and we must let the ark go." This plan is approved by all. A new cart is quickly made ready, for haste is necessary. Why? Well, each moment is valuable because people are dying every moment. When the cart is ready, they set the ark on it. The little chest with the golden emeralds and golden mice is put next to it. They then take 2 cows with their calves and harness the cows to the cart. After that, they bring the calves away to a barn behind them. "Go ahead." It is breathlessly quiet. How will it turn out? The cart begins to move, for the cows pull it. And these brute animals do not walk back to their calves, but they go straight up the road that leads to the borders of Israel. They walk along the road, lowing as they go, and they remain exactly upon the center of the highway. Yet these cows are not guided. No, they walk of themselves on the road. The 5 lords of the Philistines go along. They walk behind the cart to see what is going to happen. They stand still at the border. But the cows keep walking into the land of Israel until they come to a field. The wind rustles softly through the ripe golden yellow grain upon the fields around the village of Beth Shemesh. This Israelitish village lies close to the border of the Philistines. It is warm, but still the men are working industriously. The inhabitants of Beth Shemesh are mowing their wheat. It is the time of harvest. From time to time they stand still and wipe the sweat from their foreheads, look around for a moment, and again work industriously. When they again take a little rest, they see something coming far in the distance. It is coming from the land of the Philistines, and it is coming closer. Inquisitively, they keep watching. But then their eyes grow wide with astonishment. A happy look comes upon their faces. They sling the sickles and scythes, which they are using to mow the wheat upon the ground, and run to the border. For there, oh, they cannot believe their eyes. There is the ark, their ark. The Philistines have sent back the ark. Who would ever have thought that? In the meantime, the cart stands still. Close by lies a large stone. They lift the ark from the cart and set it upon this stone. They then break the cart to pieces, kill the cows, and offer these animals to the Lord. They do this out of thankfulness. The lords of the Philistines witness all this. Then they return. But the Israelites do not go away. Inquisitively, they walk around the ark and examine it on all sides. Now they have a fine opportunity to look at it well. One walks to it and takes hold of the cover with his dirty work hands and lifts it up. This cover is called the mercy seat. "Stay off, men. You may not touch it. The ark is holy." No, he doesn't leave it alone. He peers curiously, trying to look into the ark. 4, 5 others come walking, and they also peek into it. They also want to know what it looks like inside. The people come and go. Oh, how wicked, how irreverent. Even if the ark is not God himself, still the ark is holy, because it belongs to the worship of the Lord, and it has stood in the Holy of Holies. They should have, out of reverence, covered it with a cloth and notified the priests, but they did not do that. More and more people come hastily from the outlying districts. They have heard about it, and they too come to look. They also lift up the cover. Soon a great crowd of people has assembled to look into the ark. May that be done? No, indeed it may not. It is a desecration of the Ark of the Covenant, but they do not think of that. However, the Lord will not permit himself to be mocked. This glad day changes into a dreadful day, because of their own iniquity, for more than 50,000 people die. Those that are left turn pale from fright. They mourn because the Lord had smitten the people with a great slaughter. They become afraid. They should have been afraid sooner. They no longer dare to keep the ark in or near their village. They send a message to Kirjath-Jearim, a village in the vicinity. They ask if the inhabitants of Kirjath-Jearim want to come for the ark. They take the ark away and bring it into the house of a certain Abinadab and it remains there for many years.